Good to be back again this evening. Last couple days driving around and coming over today, the scenery is just so beautiful. In our yard, it looks like there's a golden carpet and the sugar maples are really like fluorescent yellow and orange. And I was thinking of Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows his handiwork. And all of that, how can we look at things around us and say there is no God? And the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows his handiwork. We see that God exists. And I was telling Carol yesterday, what's silly is that people will go and they'll take a photograph of something. And then as soon as they do that, they'll stick a camera in front of somebody and say, here, look. Instead of just enjoying the beauty that's out there. But what's more silly is when people see the evidence of God all around us and then they don't go to his written revelation, because the rest of Psalm 19 gets into God's word. And when we really want to see God, that's where we need to go. His nature just points toward his written revelation. But we aren't talking about that tonight. I want to talk about hospitality. I want to take a break from the parables. And let's start in 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 8. We'll look at this topic this evening. And then I plan on going back to some parables starting next Sunday evening. But in 2 Kings 4 and verse 8, now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. So it was, as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. And she said to her husband, look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please let us make a small room, upper room on the wall, and let us put a bed for him there, and a table and a chair and a lampstand. So it will be whenever he comes to us, he can turn in here. The Shunammite woman is perhaps best remembered for her hospitality to Elisha. And this is hospitality in its purest sense. Elisha was a stranger and this woman took him in. The Bible shows that hospitality is more than just a potluck or a home visit. And it revolves around a heart that is generous to others. That's the source of hospitality. And hospitality has always been a mark of God's people. One of the things that made me think about doing this lesson this week, last week I was just so struck by the congregation where we went. There was at least half a dozen people that invited us out to eat. There are so many people that talk to us, and as soon as one person or a couple would stop, somebody else would come up. Has anybody invited you out to eat? They're just very hospitable and concerned about the needs of someone else. Well, what is hospitality? Hospitality, in the simplest term, means to entertain strangers. And we'll get into entertaining, because entertaining is not hospitality, but that's the simplest definition. Hebrews 13:2, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing some have unwittingly entertained angels. And when I started looking up the meaning of this word, it's interesting. This one word spelled P-H-I-L-O-N-E-X-I-A, we see in that the phileo, to have a special interest in someone or something, like phileo love, brotherly love. The other part of this word, X-E-N-O-S, refers to a stranger or someone that is unknown. So phileo xenos, basically the love of strangers. Now we hear a word today that is the opposite of that. And it is spelled X-E-N-O-S. P-H-O-B-I-A. Again, the first part of that, xenophobia. And you hear this, you turn on the radio, the news, you hear someone being xenophobic. They've got xenophobia. What does that mean? It's interesting because they're using a Greek terms, which means that they are scared of strangers. They're scared of strangers. And some Christians are xenophobic to other Christians. We stand off. We don't want to get close to other Christians. So this is not going to be a political talk at all, even though that word is, you hear it every day, you can't get away from it, xenophobia. But we want to look at the phileo xenos, the love of strangers. And hospitality, you think about some of the related words. Hospital is caring for the needs of others. Hospitality suites. You see those at hotels, at airports. They are rooms that are used to entertain people, to conduct business in. Hospitality, though, is a religious duty, and it's a religious obligation. And why is it so important? Why is it so important to show hospitality? It's because it binds hearts together. And if you get nothing else out of this lesson, be sure to get this. When we show hospitality to someone else, it binds our hearts together. And that is so critical in the church. We need to have hospitality in the country. We need to have hospitality in the church. We need to have hospitality in the family. And we'll see that example after example, we are taught to show hospitality. So let's turn now to Deuteronomy chapter 10. And we will see that God expected it of Israel. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, beginning at verse 17, "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe. He administers justice for the fatherless and the widow, and loves the stranger, giving him food and clothing. Therefore, love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt." So here we see we are to be hospitable because of God's character and love of strangers. In verse 18, he loves the strangers. And the Israelites were taught to be hospitable because they had been strangers in Egypt, from verse 19. And yes, God commands us to be hospitable. Romans 12, 13, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. So what does given mean? Given means to pursue it, to run after it, to follow in haste. God tells us to love strangers. And when you stop and think about this, given to, when we have visitors come in here, we should be given to hospitality. We should want to go and meet them, have this attitude of running to show them hospitality. Some people say, well, I'll do that, but I don't really want to do that. Is that hospitality? What does Peter say? We were just getting to this verses in class this morning. 1 Peter 4, 8, 9. "And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling." So again, it is to be part of the character of a child of God, that we love to show hospitality toward one another, and we do not do it grumblingly. Hospitality is a quality of an elder, and that's talking about an office, but it should be a quality of all of us as we mature. 1 Timothy 3, 2. "A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior." hospitable, able to teach. Now stop and think about this. When this person that is appointed to the office of an elder, when should he be hospitable? Does he wait till he is appointed an elder and then he starts showing hospitality? Sometimes you might see that happen, but no, you find men that have these qualities already, and when they meet all of these, then they can be appointed. So he should be hospitable, and he should be no different than anybody else. All of us should be hospitable to one another and to the strangers. This is repeated in Titus 1, 7 and 8. For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled. So, again, that should be something that all of us should have and should be developing. So, who are we to show hospitality to? Well, as it is pointed out by the definition, definitely strangers. Let's turn to Genesis 18. Genesis 18, and we have the account of Abraham. And let's start in verse 1. Then the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth trees of Mamre as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. So he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And we saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground and said, My Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by on your servant. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and the rest yourselves under the tree. And I will bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts. After that you may pass by, inasmuch as you have come to your servant. They said, Do as you have said. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, Quickly, make ready 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender and good calf, gave it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it. So he took butter and milk and the calf with which he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree as they ate. So Abraham is held up as an example of someone who showed hospitality to strangers. And farther along in this lesson, we'll look at some requirements of hospitality. And we'll see that Abraham meets a lot of those requirements from this passage. But something, too, to consider. Abraham wasn't a young man at this time. He was advanced in age. And this is where the angels appear to him and tell him what is going to be happening, and that they would give birth to a child when he's old and advanced in years. And notice in verse 2, it says, When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them. And verse 7, And Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender and good calf, gave it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it. Does this mean like he put on his tennis shoes and he ran out? This old man is running. He runs to the herd and gets a tender, good calf. This word ran carries with it the idea of enthusiasm. Again, he wasn't doing this grudgingly or grumbling. He was ready to show hospitality to them. He was ready to pursue hospitality, to run after it, to follow in haste. This ran, he had enthusiasm. Well, we turn over a chapter to Genesis 39, and we'll begin at verse 1 and read about Lot. Now, 2 angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he arose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Hear now, my lords, please turn into your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. then you may rise early and go on your way. And they said, no, but we will spend the night in the open square. But he insisted strongly, so they turned into him and entered his house. Then he made a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Again, an example of showing hospitality. Let's turn to Judges 19. Judges 19, and we studied this not too long ago in our Sunday morning class. Judges 19, I'll begin at verse 15, and this is talking about the Levite that was traveling. Judges 19, 15. They turned aside there to go in to lodge in Gibeah. And when he went in, he sat down in the open square of the city, for no one would take them in to his house to spend the night. Just then an old man came in from his work in the field at evening, who was also from the mountains of Ephraim. He was staying in Gibeah, whereas the men of the place were Benjamites. And when he raised his eyes, he saw the traveler in the open square of the city, and the old man said, where are you going, and where do you come from? So he said to him, we are passing from Bethlehem in Judah toward the remote mountains of Ephraim. I am from there. I went to Bethlehem in Judah, and now I am going to the house of the Lord, but there is no one who will take me into his house. Although we both have straw and fodder for our donkeys and bread and wine for myself, for your female servant, and for the young man who is with your servant, there is no lack of anything. And the old man said, peace be with you. However, let all your needs be my responsibility. Only do not spend the night in the open square. So he brought them into his house and gave fodder to the donkeys. They washed their feet and ate and drank. Here we see another example of this old man in Gibeah showing hospitality to this Levite and his concubine. When we know the rest of the story, how his hospitality was turned by the people into a situation that was not good. We drop down to verse 22, and they were enjoying themselves. Suddenly, certain men of the city, perverted men, surrounded the house and beat on the door, and they spoke of the master of the house, the old man, saying, bring out the man who came into your house, that we may know him carnally. But the man, the master of the house, went out to them and said to them, no, my brethren, I beg you, do not act so wickedly, seeing that this man has come into my house. Do not commit this outrage. Look, here is my virgin daughter and the man's concubine. Let me bring them out, humble them, and do with them as you please. But to this man do not such a vile thing. And we see here a story repeated almost like what happened with Lot when he invited the angels in. And in this account, they take the concubine, the Levite's concubine. They rape her all night long. She makes it back to the door. She dies there, and then this Levite takes a knife and cuts her up, and then sends a piece out to each one of the tribes, and said nothing like this has ever happened in Israel before. And here, though, when he's traveling and he goes to his own people, and they wouldn't take him in, and then this old man takes him in and shows hospitality to him, and then the men of the city do such an outrageous thing. In the New Testament, we have the example of the Good Samaritan, Luke 10, showing hospitality. Also, Luke 10, we have the example of Martha. Now, it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Hospitality. There were the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Luke 24, 28 through 30. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. So we see example after example of hospitality. We see hospitality necessary in the spread of the gospel. It was particularly important during the first century when men would be preaching and going from city to city. Where would they stay? Often they would stay with other Christians. Even if there was an inn, they may not have money to stay there from traveling. So a lot of their work depended on the willingness of believers to provide a place to stay and food for them as they were traveling, spreading the gospel. Consider also, it was necessary for many of the early churches to be in the homes of each other. Romans 16:23, Gaius, my host and the host of the whole church, greets you. Erastus, the treasurer of the city, greets you, and Quartus, a brother. And Philemon 2, to the beloved Appia, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Where did many of the early churches meet? They were small groups that would meet in houses. Would we be willing to do that today? Would we want to invite a group of people into our house to worship God? Again, 1 Peter 4:9, without grumbling. The words without grumbling acknowledge that those who open their homes may tire of that after a while, because hospitality would have been, it had to be a common occurrence, and maybe someone would say, sure, come on in. And then after a while, they kind of get tired of the person and want to move them on out. So it was a bit different how it was practiced then, because our situations are so different, our lifestyles are different. But again, we have the admonition, do not forget to be hospitable. Hebrews 13:2. Hebrews 13:16 says, do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. God is well pleased. When we stop and think that God does not overlook even one sparrow, He wants us to be that way too with people. We don't want to overlook one person. Hebrews 6:10, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Now, I said that hospitality requires certain things. And think back to the account of Abraham when the three men came to him, and then these other passages to go along with that. But one of the things that hospitality requires is compassion. You aren't going to show hospitality towards somebody if you don't have compassion on them. And Luke 10:33, but there was a certain Samaritan as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. The good Samaritan, the one least likely to see to the needs of this stranger that was in need, and he had compassion. What was Jesus teaching them? You know, a lot of times the religious people, they'll stick their chest out and they'll look the other way and ignore the person that needs help. The good Samaritan showed hospitality. And that requires compassion. Hospitality requires humility. Again, back to the Genesis account. So he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him in the door. When he saw them, he ran to the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground and said, my Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. He bows himself to the ground. He acknowledges their worth. Do not pass by on your servant. I have to have, you have to have an attitude of humility and an attitude of being a servant. And if we are a servant, not if, we are a servant for God, for Jesus, and that carries with it humility. What did Jesus do on the night of his betrayal when they were instituting the Lord's Supper, when they came in and met? He washed their feet. He was showing them humility. He was showing them an attitude of serving, humility. Hospitality requires humility. Hospitality requires kindness. Acts 28 and 2. And the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. This was on Paul's missionary journeys. And farther along in Acts 28, in that region, there was an estate of the leading citizen of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. Again, this citizen on this island, he receives the men and he entertains them for 3 days. Acts 28:10, they also honored us in many ways, and when we departed, they provided such things as were necessary. Not only do we invite people in, and again, just thinking of last week, it was just an attitude of hospitality. And when I met with the elders, one of the things they asked me, is there anything you need? Are your needs being met? It shouldn't have to be just a group of elders that ask that question. We should be asking each other and asking strangers that question also. Is there anything you need? Is there anything we can help you with? Hospitality requires generosity. Again, 1 Peter 4:9, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. It's going to take some of our time, some of our energy, some effort, some of our money. 1 Timothy 6:17, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Hospitality also requires that we do it without the thought of getting anything in return. Well, I'll invite so-and-so out. I'll show hospitality to them, but then I'm going to expect them to show hospitality to me. Is that what the Bible teaches? No. Luke 14, 12 through 14. Then he also said to him who invited him, when you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, nor rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the unjust. So hospitality isn't something where it's an equal trade. And he says, don't do that. Go out and find somebody that needs help and be hospitable to them, and you will be repaid. And in Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put in your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. You have the picture of like a bushel basket, and you put something in it, something you've picked and or wheat or something in there. You take it and it looks full, but then you shake it and what does it do? It settles down. It settles down. So if you want it full, you add more in. It's like you get a box of cereal. Maybe we can understand that better. You open it up and it doesn't look full to begin with, and then you shake it more, and then it settles more, and it's not full. Our service is to be full. give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. So we are to be giving in our hospitality. Let's turn to Matthew 25. Matthew 25. And we alluded to this when we were looking at the parable of the wise and foolish virgins in Matthew 25, and then the parable of the talents. And let's start down at verse 31. After he's told them, and remember, the parable of the foolish virgins was to teach them to be watching for when Jesus come. The parable of the talents was teaching them, while you're watching, just don't sit there, be watching. Be busy working while you're watching for Jesus to return. Now, verse 31, we get down to when Jesus does actually return. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on His right hand, "Come, you blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Notice verse 35. "For I was hungry, and you gave Me food. I was thirsty, you gave Me drink. I was a stranger, and you took Me in. I was naked, and you clothed Me. I was sick, and you visited Me. I was in prison, and you came to Me." Then the righteous will answer Him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the King will answer and say to them, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, My brethren, you did it to Me." Then He will also say to those on the left hand, "Depart from Me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave Me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave Me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take Me in. Naked, and you did not clothe Me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit Me." Then they will answer Him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or in prison and did not minister to you?" Then He will answer them, saying, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did not do it to Me." And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteousness into eternal life. What's He talking about in these verses? What's He talking about? He's talking about showing hospitality to people. He's talking about showing hospitality, seeing what people's needs are, and taking care of them. Doesn't have to be something big. Somebody's hungry, feed him some food. Thirsty, give him a drink. A stranger, take him in. If he doesn't have clothes, get him clothes. Visit him when he's sick and in prison. Simple things to show that philia xenos, the love of strangers, also the love of brethren. This is going to be part of what we are judged by, is our hospitality. So what are some of the excuses that people make for not showing hospitality? There's many as you can come up with. But hospitality isn't about the house. It's not about if you have a big house or a small house or no house. It's not about the house. It's about the person. It's not about what kind of meal you serve them. It's about taking time to invite someone into your house. We have been invited into houses and the food was very scarce, but it was a very warm experience because someone invited us, you want to stop by and have a sandwich? Here, make it yourself. You know, just a plain, simple, but it shows interest. And again, what's the purpose of hospitality? It's binding hearts together. It's binding hearts together. And we can do that to an extent when we come together, but you think of again, mealtime in the New Testament and mealtime today. Mealtime today is usually picking it up through a drive-thru and eating it while you're driving down the road. Mealtime was special to them. It was opening your home, opening your heart, sharing what you had, what's mine is yours, and not expecting anything in return. It's not about your house. It's not about my house. It's about my heart and my time. And I should say, it's about my heart and God's time and God's resources. Because all the time we have is what God gives us. All the money we have is what God gives us. And how do we show the love for Jesus? We show it by how we treat each other and how we treat Jesus. When Jesus says, I was naked and you clothed me, or you clothed me not. I was sick, you didn't visit me. You know, he wasn't there physically, but the way we treat others, the way we treat others, he is saying, is the way that we would treat Christ. Hospitality. It's something all of us can improve on. It's something that is all of us, it's necessary for, so that we can be pleasing to God. And again, the results of it, you invite someone over for a glass of water, a cup of coffee, and a simple sandwich. It's going to bind the hearts together. You're going to be stronger. You're going to be stronger in the Lord. You're going to have a better relationship. It's something so simple, and we've got to make sure that we don't get so caught up in the world that we neglect it. God has shown so much hospitality toward us. The strangers, the foreigners that were alienated. We weren't just strangers, we were enemies of God. But God saw to our needs. He sent His Son. He sent His Son to be a sacrifice for us. He gave everything for us. And what do we give for Him? What do we give to Him? Friends, if there's somebody here this evening that needs to make correction in your life, don't put it off till tomorrow. Tomorrow may never come. Don't you want to do what's right? Don't you want to do what's right now? Please come forward as we stand and sing.